How you doing, dude?
Doing okay.
You just got a lot going on?
No, man. I haven't done a Zoom in a hot minute, and I can't get my stuff figured out, and my toddler messed with the computer screen and the camera angle. Like, I got a double chin. Like,
you look good.
Real life problems here.
Nah, man. You look great, dude. You look great. It was kind of a struggle just to get here to this office space here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. There was a bunch of little things getting in the way. I forgot my questions at the house. I had to run back and go get the questions. It's been a thing. It's been a day so far.
As long as we got our coffee, then we good.
You got the coffee, man. You're good to go. And I accidentally bought tea this morning, and I cannot stand tea. So it's just been a thing. It's been a thing today.
Brutal.
So you ready to go?
We're ready to go.
All right, man. So if you don't mind, tell everyone who is watching, who you are, what you do, how you do it, and all that good jazz.
That's a lot of questions in one answer. I am Troy Palmquist. I'm the director of growth for eXp Realty, specifically for the state of California.
Perfect. Okay, cool. And how, just for everyone to kind of get some context, how'd you get to this point? Because I got my notes and I can obviously rattle them off, but it sounds best coming from the author, you know?
So specifically to this job or just the life journey in the 21 years of real estate?
21 years. So I got that you first started at RE/MAX as a transaction coordinator.
There's a little bit even before that. I started, I was getting my haircut next door to a real estate office, and my friend and I were looking at houses, and it was a father-son real estate company, and they were looking to hire somebody, and I was 20 years old and wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and got an offer to come be their kind of like their assistant director of operations, like, you know, figure it all out type stuff. So yeah, that's so, where it really started.
Yeah. Just real quick on that. Did you have any other things that you wanted to accomplish, or did that just kind of come up and you were like, okay, cool, I think I'll do that? Hey,
I'd moved back down, born and raised LA, Santa Monica, and I'd moved back down from Portland. My family moved up to Portland for high school. And I decided I was just going to move back. And so I was sleeping on the couch at friends' houses that they were renting. And so it was three of us and me, and I had a closet and slept on the couch in the living room. And wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was 20 years old. And, you know, this opportunity came to have a real job. And, you know, at 20 with no degree and no true experience with real estate or anything like that. And I said, sure, let's go for it. And never looked back.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. And that's why, you know, good or bad, that's why I like real estate. It has a lower barrier of entry that anyone could really start diving into. It's really up to you to keep excelling in it. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that the barrier of entry sometimes is a little too low.
That's what I'm saying, good or bad.
But yeah, it is. It's an opportunity for people to come in and change their lives. And as long as you're looking at why you're doing it with the right reason, not to get the big paychecks or to do this or, you know, get the Lamborghinis, but really to have an impact on people's lives of, you know, buying and selling real estate, then you're doing something right.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, so I am going to actually rattle off just a few more things. And let me know if I'm wrong or there's something else I should add. And a few years later after that RE/MAX transaction coordinating thing, you were the biz development manager of a firm in Santa Monica, did that for about 4 years, senior assistant manager for a real estate firm, mostly dealing with distressed properties, did that for about 5 years. And then you had your own luxury independent brokerage in California called The Address, which I guess you expanded to about 5 locations, and then co-founded Dora, I believe, Properties before coming over to eXp, but with those independent brokerages for about 6.5 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, so here, I'll break those down for you because each one's kind of fun. Engel and Volkers in Santa Monica was the, director of operations, opened and launched that brand here. We actually converted from a help you sell to an Engel and Volkers. So you go from, you know, completely one end of the spectrum to the other. And what we saw with it was we were already providing a luxury service and level of services to help you sell. So the transition to an Engel & Völkers was really easy because it was just a new brand. And it wasn't us having to change the way that we interacted with the customers, how we marketed, how we did anything, because we were already marketing on a high level for these people.
Right.
From there, the recession hit and we had huge listings for sale. And I had ended up making the cut. And so the company could stay afloat. And, you know, it was a decision that, you know, businesses have to make. You know, you ebb and flow and you have to have staff and get rid of staff. But I'm still super grateful for the experience that I had there and launched the first Engel & Völkers on the Western United States, which was really cool because nobody knew who Engel & Völkers was in L.A. From there, I ended up going to work with Wedgewood, which was the leader, still is the leader of the foreclosure acquisition space and flips. I was licensed with them at one point in four states, California, Nevada, Utah, and Idaho. And I sold all of their distressed stuff there as an asset manager. So I was carrying about 100 to 150 homes for sale at any given time. In my biggest week, I put 55 properties into escrow in a week, which was great. I mean, but got burned out. And then I went and started my first real estate company called The Address. Based in to the Channel Islands Harbor up here in Oxnard, Ventura area. And, you know, took the lessons that we'd learned about branding and marketing and really wanting to control a brand and have your own identity with the brand and launched this brokerage and had one agent for the longest time and then two. And then we eventually, you know, one thing led to another. We scaled up to 90 agents, five offices, and then had an exit to a large franchise that acquired the company.
Gotcha. Very cool. So fast forward to the role that you're in right now, which I believe you've been in this role for a strong, I believe, 5 months.
Oh, five. I thought it was four. So there we go.
I rounded up.
Yeah. So I was, I write for Inman News and do some speaking with their events. And at Inman Connect in Las Vegas last year, I got the opportunity to speak on stage with Michael Valdez about a conversation about attraction versus recruiting. And it was an honest conversation was the title about it. And it was a conversation that I almost turned down because I was a little intimidated by the caliber of the person that I was going to speak with on stage and didn't want to be, you know, here I am 40 agents and here's Michael Valdez, growth officer with 90,000 agents, big, big difference. And I just didn't see the value that I would be able to bring. And the conversation in front of, you know, 3,000 people in 15 minutes, you know, had probably the single-handed biggest career impact of my life. And, you know, had an amazing conversation, changed my perspective of what I thought about EXP, what I thought about not being an independent broker and having the ability to have a broker with, you know, a national presence and a lot of agents and have a bigger network of stuff, really changed my impact. And we had a great conversation and here I am now.
Hey, welcome. If you could kind of think back, what was the biggest impact word or phrase sentence that he said to you that really shifted your mindset like a light switch? You just turned the other direction.
I don't think there was. I wore on stage a sweatshirt versus, you know, getting dressed up, and it said always a we, never a me. And it had two swans, you know, shaping a heart. And that sweatshirt was a focal point of a bunch of the conversation on stage. And so I think it wasn't that there was one thing that was genuinely said. It was that there were so many similarities about the way that we think and the way that agents are the business and the way that, you know, without the agents, a brokerage really isn't anything. Right. And if the agents aren't viewed as the customer of the brokerage, agents leave. And so that was, I think for me, it was that that a brokerage with this many agents had the same, you know, essentially the same value proposition that I did with my 40 agents or my 90 agents that I had previously.
Right. And I do want to say for anybody who is watching, because it's kind of put all over the place, the number that you see at the top is not the reflective of the number because it's at LinkedIn and a whole bunch of other spots. But I will say, if anybody has a question, please ask. And if it's appropriate, we're going to ask that question live. And if you guys, as always, have questions, people in the office, please ask those questions. Interrupt us if needed. I want those questions to be asked. What's your main focus right now in the role that you're in?
Growth. And you throw that word out there, it's pretty big term. I think it's growth and looking at it in multiple different ways. Agent count within the state of California and growing that. But it's also helping the individual agents grow. You know, I'm pretty available for phone calls and love the phone calls and the mastermind with people. But the more the agents grow, the more the brokerage grows, the more the signs in the yard, the more the brokerage grows. So it loop it up into one big umbrella, and it's growth of the state of California.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, your main purpose is to really give back to the agents, help them grow, because by that, everything has a byproduct of growth. What are some of those main things you're focusing on for the agent to help in growth?
You know, it's a phrase that I think is thrown out there a lot, but it's kind of the mantra for this year for myself. And I think, you know, a lot of people should adapt it. There's actually two. One, it's back to basics. In the handwritten note goes a long ways. It's one of those things that's kind of forgotten about. And that 2024 is a time to rebuild. A lot of people had production that was not on trend with what they'd had before, you know, in 2022 and 2023. So 2024 is a time to rebuild. And to rebuild, sometimes you have to go back to the basics, right? People forget that what they did to get them busy to begin with throughout their career and what worked, and they start getting too focused on the little nuances of something different, and we get busy being in the business versus working on our business. So
yeah,
basics and rebuild. And that's kind of the message that I'm trying to cultivate to, you know, everybody out there. It's not anything different than we've done before. It's just getting back to what we did before.
Right. And do any of y'all do you handwritten notes? Used to? You do?
I do, yeah.
You do mailers though, for helping like sleeves and stuff. So yeah, same concept in terms of going
and
back
I got a little bit of a cheat with it too, because we own this like pretty sick printer and the thing's 25 feet long, but we handwrite once.
Dang.
And then scan it into the system at a really high DPI with blue ink, and then run them out, and it creates the note cards. It cuts them, folds them, and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so for us, if you're going to go door knocking, it's going door knocking with intention, and you're taking a card that says, "Sorry, I missed you," and it looks like you hand wrote it right there. You know, so it's just back to the basics. Like I write notes. I've got a stack of note cards sitting here. The goal is to send out, you know, a handful a week, but the handwritten note just goes so far, whether it's with an agent you just closed a transaction with, somebody that you met at a new open house that's a new agent, and you know, cultivating those relationships. It's a relationship-based business.
Yeah. So if you ever want to send one to Fayetteville, North Carolina, we'll put it on the wall somewhere here in the office. Even if it's got that blue ink from the printer, we're good to go. We're good to go.
I'll send you one today. Then you see a blank note card. But
very good.
We'll send you a note card today.
Awesome. And so what is it? So going back to the basics, how is EXP going back to the basics for their agents to help with growth?
So what do you define as growth?
So I was trying to piggyback on your value proposition for your clients in terms of buyers and sellers. So in that aspect, it would be, let's say, more units closed. Let's say the seller making more money, let's say the agent making more money. It's kind of that same vertical. How would that?
So I think with EXP, the big missing piece that people don't really like, I think, tap into enough is the amount of education and content that's put out there. And for agents that are new to the industry or seasoned, there's so many different channels to jump into and learn from. Even like this podcast, right? Like this to me is an educational piece. People need to dive into and really utilize the benefits of what this brokerage offers, because that's going to spur your growth.
Yeah. So where should they start? Like if we're going back to the basics, an agent just started, obviously there's a ton, right? I'm not even necessarily part of, let's say, the executive team or anything like that. Just an agent out here wanting to give some value. So that's just another avenue. But I'm brand new to eXp. What would be for you, back to the basics, I'm an agent, need to dive into to learn more about selling homes?
There's a handful of different channels to go through for it. Sorry, I'm dodging the question. I don't specifically have like the answer to that. Like, you know,
I love the experience too, though.
You know, but there's so many different ways to go into, you know, through Workplace and the other educational channels that we have through it. EXP's on a mission. I think you actually had the new chief of education on your podcast a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, chief learning officer.
Sorry. And I mean, that was an amazing conversation you guys had. Like, and what EXP is really doing by bringing somebody of that caliber in is really elevating the game for what brokerages are going to be able to offer and should offer to their agents to really help them have the tools, understand the tools, but also have the education of promoting their growth.
Yeah. And what I'll say is like, he's also done a really good job of listening to outsiders. So I've had him connect with other leaders in terms of coaching or consulting that are outside of eXp, and he's taking the call every single time. You know, he's really just pulling in whatever he can to help out, I guess, the gaps that eXp may have.
Well, it's just the gaps that brokerages have in general.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Which, you know, a lot of us are having those same struggles, which is why the conversation is probably congruent, you know? Any questions so far? No, y'all good? Any questions online, please ask those questions. Number one asset would you say an agent would need in a shifting market? Because obviously we're seeing it shift a little bit. And here in Fayetteville, it's starting to pick up a little bit more than what it was. It was way more of a seller's market, but you're seeing buyers have a little bit more oomph in their offers. What would you think, or what would you say an agent would need, number one asset in a shifting market?
I think the number one asset for a real estate agent, no matter what type of market is, whether it's a buyer's market, a seller's market, or just a stable market, is their database. If you're not working your sphere of influence, like you will fail. Like there's no way around it. The online leads don't care about you. The people that you meet at an open house typically don't care about you. Your sphere of influence, the people you send your holiday card to and that your kids go to school with, guess what? They care about you and they want to care about your success. So keeping in touch with your database. I wrote an article last week and EXP actually reshared it in one of the channels on Workplace, but it was on evaluating the health of your database. And it was a really good article because it really does talk about, like, you know, okay, we run a database, but how often do you go and add people to it? Like you can't wait until Christmas to go and add it and say, you know, who did we meet at Johnny's soccer this year and add them. They need to be added in earlier. And, you know, whether you're working with a geo farm or, you know, what you're doing for outbound outreach for, you know, farming or whatever, like they've got to be in your database. Like, and there's services out there where you can get a phone number. There's services out there where you can get their email. There's services out there where you can find out what kind of car they drive based on the DMV records. Like there's plenty of ways out there to build your database and network to your sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Okay. Single-handedly your best asset. I don't care if it's a website. I don't care if it's, you know, your YouTube channel or whatever it is, your best asset in real estate is your database.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir over here. So we appreciate that. Real quick, and I call it your landing pad, right? So you do have the top of the funnel where you're getting leads and warm leads, cold leads, whatever lead, But that's the landing pad. That's where everyone should be landing with a systemized follow-up system, building a relationship. How do you get most of your leads? In-person networking. And do you have like a database eventually they go into? Yep. And how do you get most of your leads?
Past client referrals.
Past client referrals. And do they end up going into a database?
Oh, they're everyone's in a database.
So we love it. And I appreciate it. I taught a whole class on this for the locker room coaching yesterday. So it's like the timing couldn't have been more perfect.
So, but here's the thing, right? Like, you have to continually add to it. There is a sweet spot for it, but it's the addition of it that really helps it continue to grow. It's like, you know, you've got these databases of diamonds or gold or whatever way you want to, you know, look at it, of money just sitting there of people that want to buy and sell a house. And if they don't know that you're willing to help them or you want to help them, they're never going to ask. And as much as I say it, my number one asset is my sphere of influence. I sit on the board of directors for one of the larger Boys and Girls Clubs. I've truly failed their like marketing to them, but it's not why I'm on the board either. But they all know I'm in real estate. I don't think a single one of them knows that I can help them buy or sell their home or their friends or family's home.
Yeah.
And that's on me. And I know that's been a weak spot for me, but it's also, I'm not on the board of directors to market to them.
Yeah, exactly. The goal is a little bit different. But yeah, if we had more time, I was actually going to talk about the Boys and Girls Club and the Young and the Brave that you're a part of. We may get into that a little bit later. Say I have $1,000. How should I spend this $1,000 to help in growth for my real estate sales business, Director of Growth at eXp?
I think you got to look at it back into which vertical you want to go. Are we talking about building, you know, something that's going to lead to a sale, or towards building, you know, your rev share organization and, you know, helping people see that there's a better brokerage than where they're at?
I'd say sales in this market.
You know, I think I would go through and have, you know, $1,000. You get the 4th of July is a ways away. You got St. Patrick's Day coming up. I'd probably focus something on St. Patrick's Day, although it's a little cheesy. I would probably go and do something sphere of influence related, tie it back into spring and growth and helping them increase their net worth and growth through real estate, whether it was helping them evaluate their portfolio if they have multiple properties, or helping them add a property to it, but using spring messaging towards some sort of a growth pattern. This one probably wouldn't cost $1,000, probably wouldn't cost much at all, but I would probably do a seller seminar. A lot of people do the first time home buyer seminar, but they don't realize that there's first time sellers out there that have never sold a home. And, yeah, you know, putting something together with that and putting together a nice course or messaging for that, I think would be something that would be pretty good, because as interest rates drop, there's going to be more people that are willing to sell, because the people that bought at 4% and 5% it's getting back down to where they feel comfortable with it. The people that are at the 2s and the 3s, they're going to have a hard time justifying selling, I think, down the road for a foreseeable future, unless there's a life event or something that they need to do to move on to that interest rate. But they're really seeing a bigger increase in monthly payment for the same spend as somebody that has the 4% to 5% interest rates. So marketing to the first time seller, I think, is a really good opportunity. I don't think people do it nearly enough, but doing some sort of an event around being a first time home seller, bring in some local, like your local title rep, home warranty person, go over the listing contract, go over a purchase contract, and really help them understand what's going to happen during the sale of their home.
Yeah. So it sounds like invest into the people that have invested in you, and focus on sellers with those people that have invested in you.
Back into the database.
Back into that database. Database, data bank, whatever, right? Who is in a role of growth that you admire and learn from outside of eXp?
Hmm. Who is in a growth role that I admire outside of EXP? Maybe a little cheesy of an answer, but and it's totally dodging the question into the way that you want the answer, but my mom. My dad passed away in 2022, and my mom has had to grow tremendously outside of where she was before. She'd been married for 30 something years. They were married since, you know, 40 something years. So she didn't know anything else. And so she was forced to step outside of her comfort zone, even down to, you know, mowing the yard and, you know, doing all of that stuff. So I think in a growth position outside of EXP, my mom definitely has shown some of the biggest, you know, growth that I see and admire. Professionally, I have a lot of mentors. I think that the mentorship and having people to talk to as you grow is super important. I don't necessarily have mentors because of how they've grown.
And it's fine. Mom's, you can't go.
It's such a good question. Who do you admire for growth outside of EXP? You know, and there's Rene Rodriguez. He's an author, speaker, and, you know, I love what he's done, and his company has truly grown exponentially over the past few years. And he's a great guy with a great mission and, you know, great strategies to really help you grow.
That's awesome. We may need to bring him on here and ask him some questions as well. We got a question from the CEO founder of The Locker Room Coaching, Jake Dixon. He asks, what KPIs does a director of growth of EXP focus on day in and day out, the 20% activities?
For me, it's a lot of outreach. It's building the relationships and cultivating the relationships with agents. You go back to basics. I've sent people that have joined EXP text messages and saying, welcome to EXP, from my real cell phone number with a video saying, welcome to EXP. Don't forget to send an announcement letter out to your database and, you know, let them know that you switched. For me, a lot of it is just it's direct outreach because we haven't had a director of growth in California before. There was, you know, the handful of national people. So it's making people aware that I exist and that I'm here to help them, you know, with growth, help them with, the conversations with people that they're having about joining EXP and helping them get across the finish line. But you can't have those conversations if people don't know to reach out to you.
Yeah. All right. And you would say that's number one or one of the top, let's say, three KPIs you're focused on.
I mean, it's not necessarily a KPI. It's, you know, it's what are we, how am I looking at it to help develop the growth? I mean, it's, you know, it's outreach to people, meeting new people and helping the agents here, you know, grow.
Yeah. As you've been outreaching, what is the feedback you're getting from a director of growth who is, you know, it doesn't sound like, I guess California has had that position and there may have been a vacuum for a little while. What are you seeing is the biggest response to that?
I think a lot of it's genuinely really warmly welcomed. They like the fact that I can jump in the car and go and meet with a brokerage that they're talking to about joining EXP, because we're so geographically, you know, I mean, California is huge, but I'm pretty centrally located to go and help people or jump on the call is simple, but it's been really well received. Texas also has a director of growth and so does Florida for EXP. And I think that it really does help provide that individual in a virtual world and virtual brokerage to have somebody that you can, you know, pick up the phone and call and just chat and brainstorm with.
Right. Totally. Any questions so far? All right. And keep asking questions, everyone who's online, if you do have a question. Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Fake it till you make it.
Oh, dude, you just spoke Jake Dixon's. That is his thing. Can you explain what that means to you, is not to fake it till you make it?
I think that there's parts of it that's, you know, relevant, but I think people get caught up in faking it until you make it, and they get into debt and they get into real issues because they're trying to fake it, and they're trying to fake it into an avenue or into a place that they really don't, they shouldn't be yet. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be there later, but they're faking it to kind of get there. You know, I use an example that people like want to fake it till they make it. They go buy the new Porsche. Like, they shouldn't have the Porsche yet, but they go buy the Porsche, the brand new, you know, 911. And there's benefits to it because it puts you into going to Cars and Coffee. It's a networking piece, but you can go buy an older Porsche and it still has the same impact. Like, I've got a 1975 Porsche 914. It doesn't go over 30 miles an hour. Like, you know, a Karmann Ghia and a Volkswagen Bug is faster. But if I take it to a car event, it does get the conversation started. Now, that car is not super expensive, but it's still a Porsche and it's still respected amongst those people. And I think that people get lost with the fake it till you make it, with the expensive watches and, you know, all this and that. And it really does lead to, you know, financial issues down the road. And I think that people really, that is one of those bad pieces of advice to do.
Yeah. You know, and I think on some level, of course, if you're doing that to impress a certain person, you got to keep that facade forever, which sounds extremely exhausting. And I think, you know, Jake Dixon's focus on that is maybe not focus so much on the things that you're not great at, and only focus at the things that you're really good at. So no need to fake it, fake anything till you make it. Just stay focused in what you have.
Pick your lane and master it. Like, there's no reason to be all over the place trying to do stuff. Like, focus, pick a lane, focus on it, master it, and then move on to another piece. Like, because that's really where you're going to see the success.
That's right. Jumping on that, do you have a favorite failure that you believe has set you up for your position that you're now with EXP?
I told this story recently, and I really haven't told it much, but when we launched Dora, it was in the midst of the pandemic. So 2020, I had had cancer in September of 2020. And I decided that I wanted to go and start something different and start something new that was going to be revolutionary for the real estate industry. And I wasn't going to let the cancer be the defining piece of me, and didn't really take it seriously enough as I should have. And, you know, put all of the energy towards something different. So we started an interior design firm and a furniture gallery, and then subsequently the real estate company, all under one umbrella and one name. So really wanted to help house to home. And the real estate company, you know, was doing good. The interior design firm was doing okay. Retail sucked. And I didn't necessarily do enough probably due diligence into what retail was going to be. I know that I like to go shopping and I'm pretty good at it, but having a retail component was different, and I feel like I failed there. That's like a big recent like life fail. You know, but what it's done, I think, has really helped me have the story to tell people that, you know, no matter how bad a fail is or how bad you feel you're doing in life, like, the light is at the end of the tunnel and that God's not going to put you through more than you can handle. And that you can navigate through anything, you know. And had I experienced that, would I be able to have an experience to talk about that a lot of people could resonate with? Because failure's okay. But it's what you do with the failure and how you learn from the failure that's going to really define whether it was a failure or if it was a success.
Yeah, exactly. And that ties into what we may talk about later. I do got a question that jumped in, and you may, I'd be interested to hear your answer. I feel like I already know it, but the question is, what is the best database platform that a director of growth would say?
One that you use.
Yep. Figured that might be the answer. Outside of that, do you have a certain one that you like or favor?
Personally, for me, I love Follow Up Boss. I think the integrations and the APIs that they've built and just kind of the open platform to communicate with the other pieces is pretty sick.
Do you have a, what is it called? Source of the R. You get a kick. I don't want to say kickback, but you get some money back if somebody signs up. Referral code?
I do not. There's a few pieces of tech out there that I absolutely love. Like Follow Up Boss, Real Scout is like the best middle of the funnel way to communicate with your home buyers and, you know, nurture campaigns for sellers. I get no kickback from them. It's going to help the agents grow, right? Might as well shout it from the rooftop.
Yeah.
A referral code would be pretty cool though to pop up on there, but no.
Yeah, affiliate link.
No, don't have those.
You should. And I'll put it in the description below. All right. What is something you wish you were better at?
I heard a phrase recently and it's like, you're good at A to Z, but not everything in between. I wish I could be better at the stuff in between. I wish I could surf. I live at the beach and I've tried to go surfing and like, you know, it's just not my thing. I can wakeboard just fine, but surfing, I can't surf. But no, I think professionally, like there's so many other ways to, you know, work your database and work the real estate industry. I wish I was better at like expireds and reaching out that way, but I'm not a big cold call person. I'm not really into door knocking. And like the expired campaigns really do touch both of those because you've got to go and do it. I have no problem FedExing somebody a book saying, hey, I can help you sell your house, but to go and drop it off at the house and knock on the door is not my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You said the same. And then how about you? Same. Yeah. So what does that say for anybody who's watching, right? If you want a competitive advantage, you have people, and same for me, no one that is at least live looking on screen wants to do it. So that is a competitive advantage. If you decide you want to do something like that, go out there in the field because there's a good group of us that have no desire to do it. So I thought that, yep. Perfect. Great. What personal value used to be extremely important to you that has recently flipped?
Probably energy. I think I used to look at energy being something that you always had enough of. 24 hours in the day was enough time in the day. You have enough energy to keep going. That flipped for me last year, and I realized that, you know, the energy that you have and the energy that you put out into doing something or the energy you put into people changes, and you don't have unlimited energy for that. So really being protective of your time and protective of your energy, because if you're using it up doing stuff during the day, you don't have time for family and the energy for family at home.
Yeah. So for the team leaders, the broker owners, all of that, for the agents that suck their energy that may be in their firm or on their team, what advice would you give for them?
Just put your guard up a little bit more. It's just, you know, what's important, you know, and for me right now, family's, you know, important. The time at home, the time with family is important. Like I don't want necessarily, want to be exhausted and emotionally drained when I'm at home with, you know, my 6-year-old or with my wife and, you know, having the ability to have the energy there. You just, it's one of those things, man. It's like, you can go and everyone talks about side hustles and, you know, different revenue streams. And it's like, you start pulling away your energy and your focus from one thing over to another, you start losing traction, you lose growth, and you lose what's important with that one thing because you start focusing on another. And like that big lesson for me was with like the furniture gallery. Like, put so much energy into trying to figure out retail that it was starting to impact other places. And that's where I really learned about like energy and time. Like, you just don't get more energy. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not talking the physical, like, you know, energy, like I go run 5 miles. It's like the physical, it's the energy to put into something, like the emotional energy. You don't get unlimited reserves of that.
Yeah. So what if you find, let's use one of your brokerages, let's say 30 agents, and you have 5-10 agents who come up to you and tell you about this one agent that's draining their energy. What does that conversation look like? Or what's the next steps to heal that thing going on in the office?
You've got to look into it because it's going to destroy your culture. And culture is so much of what a brokerage is based on. Like, and so you really do have to look into it and get to the root of what the problem is and make the decisions of whether or not, you know, the person's a cultural fit for your group anymore.
And if they're not, but you like that agent, what does that conversation look like? Because obviously director of growth, by getting, you know, having these hard conversations, it's going to help the growth of the whole organization, right? And these are difficult.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm not looking at it, the question in the director of growth of EXP. I'm looking at it in, you know, what I've done in previous circumstances before, like, you know, where I had a brokerage of 90 agents or a brokerage of 40 agents, like, and what you do. Right. Because look, I mean, every situation is different and there's a different outcome for everything. So it's, you know, why aren't we, what's going on that's causing the issue?
Yeah.
But I mean, you've got to look into it. You've got to address it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a quote that goes, come from curiosity. So just get curious about the situation and then find out what's the next step after that. But ultimately, the big goal is to keep the culture intact.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Any questions so far? All right. We've got a lot of notes being taken as well. What this is a question that's interesting. How, if anybody was interested into getting into leadership or executive level or whatever within not only EXP, let's just use EXP, but it could be truly any other firm. What are some of the things that you feel that the leadership executive team are looking for in order for that person to step into those seats?
I think you got to put yourself out there to have conversations. I think a lot of the times, and this isn't speaking for EXP or speaking for, you know, anybody more along the lines of what I've seen in my own career, is that it's the relationships that you build with people. And so putting yourself out there to have the conversations with people that are above you, asking for a mentor, asking for advice, and looking to people. But you've got to cultivate the relationship. You've got to really like put the energy into it. And whether it's going to a specific conference to meet somebody, you know, I heard somebody say that it's like they wanted to work with a particular person. So they went to like 3 different conferences, like to sit in the lobby and meet the person and try and get FaceTime with them. Like, you've got to go and get FaceTime and get the credibility going with people. Because think about it, if you're trying to go for a job, like the person that gets referred into a company has a lot more likely chance of really getting a seat at the table. It's just like if you get a referral into a listing or a referral into a buyer, the referral is the strongest source. So putting your energy into really making those connections and you know, it's like, if you go to a conference, with the intent of meeting a couple people, whether it's a CEO of a tech company or a CEO of this, or, you know, an agent that you admire, like, go out there and with intention, meet the person, and then, you know, cultivate, you know, the relationship, keep in touch with them, because you never know where the relationship's going to turn.
Yeah. Totally agree with that.
But look, for me, I wouldn't be at EXP had I not had the conversation on stage with Michael and, you know, had a subsequent conversation. And then really, you know, had I had not expressed the interest in genuinely in EXP, I wouldn't be here. But it was a conversation that I almost turned down, that I decided would be a bad decision to turn down, and, you know, changed my life.
Yeah, totally. What is something, and I got a few more questions and then we can wrap it up. We got less than 15 minutes, but knowing that you are focused on, you know, obviously California, what are some things that you're learning in the state that you feel like overall global EXP could adapt to grow?
I think that I'm learning, and I think it's probably more not just at EXP, but in general, that the pandemic and the last 3 years has really pushed us away from building relationships genuinely. You know, it's like, how many transactions did you close last year?
Oh, me personally?
Yeah.
So I hand all my leads away. So personally, none.
Okay. But so in the room behind you guys, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch your names earlier, but how many transactions did you guys close last year?
I have no idea, because they run a team as well. And then
57.
Okay. So 57. Of the 57, how many were double ended?
I do not track that, but I would say about a quarter of them.
25%.
Because we're in a budget town, usually when someone's selling, they're leaving to go to another state. But I do get referrals on quite a few of those for whatever state they're ending up in.
Nope. So I'm meaning on the real estate agent side. So of the 57 deals, how many did you double end? 25%? So there wasn't another agent on the other side.
Oh, so,
dual agency.
Usually, let's see. I think I've done that about.
Ooh, hold up. Sorry. I'm trying to go over that.
Probably only 10.
Sorry about that.
70 out of the 57. So we're at like a quarter.
Okay. Maybe. So, and of that, how many were done with another EXP agent or somebody in your office?
I do not track that, so I have no clue. I do know that more and more often now that I just joined EXP in October. So
me too.
That's something that I will be tracking.
But what I'm saying, what I'm getting to, right, is that it's relationship. And you have, if you're looking at it in growth, one way or the other, it's so impactful to go out and grab coffee with a real estate agent that you closed a deal with, no matter what brokerage they're at. Because what happens is, it's like, hey, we had a great transaction. I'd love to do another one with you. What do you have coming up? What do you have for buyers? And it's this transactional relationship-based business, right? And that's where I ask the questions that way, because it's like, we identify that you have potentially 35 people that you could reach out to and strengthen the relationships, because most likely you had a really smooth transaction with all of them and had a positive experience working with them on the other end.
I have had, with relations with agents, when you work well with agents and form that relationship, when you put an offer in on their property, they're more gung-ho and they can tell their seller, you know, hey, this agent is going to make the transaction smooth. These two offers are really close, but I do know this agent's going to make it a lot easier for us. And I've had that happen two or three times where the agent told me, you know, one of the reasons my offer was accepted was because who I was.
Yeah, because you're going to get into a relationship with this person for the next 30 to 45 days. I would much rather get into the relationship knowing that the person that I'm going to work with, I've worked with in the past, or I know their track record and I know that they're going to close and we're going to have a smooth transaction, not get, you know, oh, I'm sending a notice to perform or demand a close and, you know, adding elements of stress to the transaction that aren't necessary, because I know this person has a great reputation. I've worked with them before. We go to coffee. Like, we might not be at the same brokerage, but we have a relationship and it's going to help you do more business.
Agreed.
There we go.
Completely agree. Completely agree. What is one question that you might have for us, for anybody who's watching or for us in the room, as, you know, I'm still going to say it, Director of Growth. What questions do you have for us? Maybe that you have for us.
How can I help you grow?
How can Troy help us grow? And for you guys as well online, just ask, I guess, say it or ask a question. But what do you guys think? What can he do to help us grow? You already done it. We got one answer. You're doing it. Great job. High five. What you got?
I really don't have any questions for him specifically, but I would like to point out the handwritten notes in blue ink, printed in blue ink and cut out. It's going to save me time exponentially. And thank you very much, because writing out, you know, I do 10 to 15 cards a week that I mail out. But your suggestion, I'm also going to start doing on my drop-bys when I just go to see a past client. That note to leave, I think, is going to be great, as well as just sending them a text, sorry, I missed you. They'll actually get a note when they get home to see, yeah, I did come by. So that's great.
And I'll send Ruben contact information in case you want to, we do it. My graphic artist actually has an Etsy store that she does these handwritten notes, and we ship them across the United States to people. So you write it once, we send them out. We got people that do house anniversaries to their entire farm, reminding people that they bought their home, and they use this over and over again, that this month is your anniversary of when you bought your home. And you know, as long as you've got the same pen writing in the envelope, nobody can tell the difference.
Yeah. And like you said, no one really gets it anymore.
You got to get past the trash can, right? Anything that comes in a handwritten envelope, you are predetermined that you will open it, because you've got to know.
Yeah. Just got to know. I know that I was looking at, I believe it's 74 units we closed as a team last month. So looking at that, one thing we've never done is really started to scale where those transactions are coming from, or how many were double-ended within, let's say, our group or EXP in general. So that'd be something that'd be interesting. I'll say another thing that's helping us grow is you jumping on. So I'm like notorious for reaching out to leadership and wanting to know what's going on, you know, and get to know the person a little bit more, and that helps me and deliver message and so on and so forth, and deliver the message out there into the interwebs as well. So that helps me. So I appreciate that. We also got someone else who said, hey, and this someone else, if you don't mind, put your name, because we don't have it, but it says, what can you do to help me grow? Hey, send me all your Central Texas referrals with a cool glasses emoji. So
If I know anyone moving to Texas, I will keep it in mind. So here, I'll end with this one other piece of advice. We show, as real estate agents, we show a lot of property, especially if you're working with a lot of buyers. Take the opportunity and go introduce yourself to the three or four homes on either side of the house. It's not your listing, right? But go there with the enthusiasm, go knock on the door and say, hey, I just showed this house. I absolutely love it. I know you probably don't want to move, but do you know anyone wanting to move into this neighborhood? Because I want to sell that house.
Yeah. So there's two things. We'll do the same. Do you remember what it's called?
5x5x10.
So we call it a 5x5x10, which is 5 on the left, 5 on the right, 10 across the street. And one of the things we'll say is, isn't it nice if you want to choose your own neighbor, right? It's always fun to choose your own neighbor versus some crazy person moving in. So that's another conversation we have. I've done something pretty dicey, and I guess I'll end it on this. Back in the day, I used to say, hey, we got a missing persons report. And they're like, what? I was like, hey, we got someone missing next door. Who do you know what's about? Super sketchy. Wouldn't recommend it. But
I mean, it'd be a fun postcard. Definitely be a fun postcard to door drop.
Yeah, missing persons. Well, that's cool, man. Is there any last things that you would like to say, and where could people reach you?
I got my Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. You know, workplace, if you're at EXP, I'm pretty easy to find. So drop me a line.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Troy. Thank you so much for jumping on, and we'll see what it looks like for next year. We'll bring you on again, see what's changed, see what new things are happening. But so glad that you were able to jump on, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Everybody have a great day.
Yes, sir. See you.
Bye.
Bye.